Welcome to the Sandler Foundations, Chapter 9, Improving Your Batting Average. The following audio is copyrighted by Sandler Systems Incorporated, protected by U.S. copyright laws, and all Sandler Foundations material is for your personal use and is not to be disseminated to any other person. Here's your trainer, Rochelle Carrington.
Now that you have a better understanding of the Sandler selling system, let's turn our focus to improving your performance. We'll do that by focusing on the Sandler Success Triangle. It consists of three parts: behavior, attitude, and technique. By the end of this module, you will be able to do a number of things. You'll be able to explain the difference between behavior, attitude, and technique. You will know how to define and measure sales success. You will be able to discuss the three points of the success triangle, as well as their subsets. And you'll be able to describe and explain why it is so important to separate your identity from your role. Lastly, you will know how to describe the core value of a human being, and you will be able to connect all three areas of the success triangle. Now, most sales training focuses on technique alone. You know, teaching salespeople how to overcome objections, giving them great closing lines that supposedly allow them to close deals more easily. Sounds pretty great, doesn't it? Here's the only problem. Technique training alone doesn't work. Why is that? Well, sales is conceptual, not mechanical or technical. Conceptually, salespeople need to understand how to incorporate new techniques into their daily life. Think about it this way. You can have the best technique training, but if you don't have the right attitude or belief that allows you to believe that you could be doing better, or if you're not executing the behaviors necessary to get yourself in front of enough opportunities, that technique training is a complete waste. What we know is that you will filter some of this learning out. We all do. Every time we learn something new, some part of that filters out due to past experience, past learning, and all sorts of things that have happened over our lifetime. So today we're going to focus on how do you take and marry conceptual and technical. In other words, how do you have both style and substance? By helping you to connect your behavior, attitude, and technique, we're going to enable you to increase your batting average and give you an even better connection to your success. David Sandler identified three areas of success for sales: behavior, attitude, and technique. Success is the result of all three of those areas coming together in the success triangle. Your attitude is your outlook about you, your company, and your marketplace. Behaviors are the activities that you do in order to make sure that you get a successful outcome. And your techniques are the tactics that you execute when you're doing those behaviors. All three of those things are incredibly important to work together to create optimal success. And when any one of them is missing or even a little bit low, you won't be as successful as you possibly could be. So let's take a look at how those three things really interconnect. Your attitude is the belief that you can be successful. And it makes sense that when you have a positive attitude, it's a lot easier to execute on those activities or behaviors that you need to do on a regular basis. Your behaviors are your goals, your plans, and your actions. Are you doing the right thing at the right time with consistency to ensure that you get in front of enough new opportunities to reach your goals? And your techniques are the strategies, the tactics, and your personal presence. How do you actually execute those behaviors? The key to success in sales is to maintain a positive attitude regardless of whether you're winning or losing. It's easy to maintain that attitude when you win, but those who are truly successful can maintain that great positive outlook even amongst failure. So let's do a quick exercise and figure out where you are on all three elements of the success triangle. We'll take each one at a time, and I'd like you to rank yourself on a scale of 0 to 10. 0 means you need a lot of work in that area, a lot of improvement, and 10 means you're absolutely perfect. So first, let's take a look at attitude. How much of the time do you maintain that outlook of success, that outlook of possibility, regardless of the situation? Next, take a look at behavior. How often are you doing regular activities, the right thing at the right time, with great consistency? And then take a look at technique. Technique is how well do you use your tactics at the right time when you are doing those behaviors. Once you have a score in each one of those areas, I'd like you to multiply all of them together and then divide that by 1,000. That will give you your batting average. Success is really the multiplier of behavior, attitude, and technique. Now, when you take a look at your numbers, let's really get in and see what you put down. If you gave yourself 10s in all areas, that basically means that you have no room for improvement and that you are 100% perfect in every single one. The likelihood of that being true is probably pretty slim. But if you ranked yourself low in an area, I'd like you to take a look, take some time and figure out why you ranked yourself lower and what is it that you would need to do to improve in those areas. Remember that success in sales does not mean you need to be perfect. You don't win in sales by having to win by a mile. All you need to do is win by seconds. An improvement in some of those areas where you were lower is the thing that will allow you to win by seconds. The question is, what will that do to help you reach your personal and professional goals? Let me ask you a question. What do you think of when you hear the word attitude? For most people, they think of positive or negative. But for the sake of today's discussion, we're going to redefine it as outlook of possibility or outlook of limitation. Your attitude are your thoughts, your beliefs, and your emotions that you associate with anything that happens to you on a daily basis. Now, in sales, we need to be aware of our attitude in three different areas: you, your company, and your marketplace. We'll come back and revisit those in a little bit. Many people wonder, why is attitude at the top of the success triangle? And the reason is because attitude is the thing that drives everything else that you do. As Henry Ford said, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right. So your attitude really involves the mindset that you bring, the outlook that you bring when you show up for work every single morning. Now that mindset can fluctuate day by day, and frankly, minute by minute, depending on what happens to you. Let me give you an example. You show up for work, your attitude is feeling like a 10, and you get a phone call from one of your best customers. And that customer says, "We're cutting back our order because we are not satisfied with the delivery that we have from your company." Now your attitude slips to a 6. Next, you go about doing some prospecting work, and you're not really getting any efforts, any effects or results. And now your attitude suddenly slips to a 3. So for the rest of the day, you spend your time attempting to get yourself back up to that 10 level. Now, for someone who has got a very positive attitude, high self-esteem, that salesperson is going to be able to get themselves up to a 10 much faster than one who has lower self-esteem. And so that's why the attitude is so incredibly important. The better the attitude, the longer you can keep your attitude at a 10, regardless of the situation, whether you win or you fail, you will be higher producing than one who has a much longer bounce back time. And bounce back time is that time that it takes from you to get from a low level on the attitude scale to a high level on the attitude scale. So we've got to watch three crucial areas in our attitude: you, your company, and your marketplace. When it comes to you, what we're really talking about is how much do you feel that you can be successful, that you can be more successful, and really that you deserve success. When you take a look at your company, do you truly believe that you deliver the best product or service in the market, that your product or service helps the people that you sell to? Because if you don't believe that, it's going to be much harder to sell that product. And then you've got to take a look at the marketplace. The marketplace is, do you believe that the market will bear the prices you need to be successful? Do you believe that there is an abundance of prospects out there who are dying to buy your product or service because it will help them? Those three key areas are the things that when you keep yourself a 10 in each one of those are the things that will help propel you to success. When you were born, you were a little more than a bundle of needs and impulses. You had no roles or expectations, and therefore you were able to just be you. As you got older, your parents and others started to assign different roles to you. Things like brother, sister, playmate, friend, student. And every year you've gotten older since then, you have taken on new roles as well, based on new hobbies that you have taken, or new roles within your workplace, or even new relationships. With every new role you take on, there is always a consideration as to what constitutes good performance in that role or bad performance in that role. And typically, the praise and reward we get is based on how well we do in that particular role. The same thing holds true when it comes to any sort of penalties for not doing well in that role. Now, that kind of mindset is all well and fine, except that we never get rewarded for just being you. Our rewards are always contingent upon the performance that we do in our role. And this is why we have been trained to believe that our identity or our self-worth equals our role or our performance. Now, when it comes to sales, this is a very important fact, because for a salesperson, there are days when you will do very well as your performance in your role, and there will be days when you don't do as well. If your identity, your self-worth, your self-esteem is tied in to how you do in your role, what kind of impact do you think that has on you as a salesperson? If you do poorly in your role that day, you don't get an appointment, you don't close that deal, your identity, your self-worth is going to go down. So for salespeople, it is especially crucial to be able to separate the identity from the role so that we can continue to succeed and feel successful even when our role performance is not at its best. Let's do a quick exercise to just see how this works. What I'd like you to do, close your eyes for a minute, and I'd like you to picture yourself on a desert island. It's nice, sunny, 70 degrees. There's a warm breeze going out. The water is nice and blue, crystal clear. You're laying on the beach. You're only there for a few minutes. You don't have to worry about clothing or shelter or money. You're just sitting on the beach, you, devoid of any roles whatsoever. When you think of yourself on that beach without any roles, you're not a salesperson, You're not a spouse or a significant other. You're not a parent, a brother, a sister. None of those things. When you think of yourself on that beach, devoid of those roles, what would you assign your identity on a scale of 0 to 10? 0 being low, 10 being high. If you had any difficulty with this exercise, it's really quite normal. Most people have some challenges separating their identity from their role, mainly because we have never been taught to do that. Think about it. When somebody asks you about yourself, you describe what it is that you do. You're a mother or a father, you're a brother, you're an employee, a salesperson, you're a golfer or a tennis player. You always describe what you do, you don't describe who you are. The second reason why you might have difficulty with this exercise is because if your self-identity or self-image is on the low side, it's very hard to separate that from your role as well. Now, as you think about the number that you assigned yourself, if you did not rate yourself as a 10, you are absolutely wrong. One thing to take out of this lesson is that your identity is always a 10, regardless of your role performance. You get a 10 just for being a human being. There is great value in just being a human being without any role. Why would you ever want to devalue that? So keep your identity as a 10, keep that identity separate from your role performance, and in our upcoming lesson, we're going to talk more about how the identity role theory affects your comfort zone and your performance. David Sandler discovered that people fall into a psychological category based upon where they rank their eyesight or their identity. The categories are as follows. Winners rank their eyesight on a scale of 8 to 10. At-leasters rank their eyesight on a scale of 4 to 7, and non-winners rank their eyesight on a scale of 0 to 3. Based upon the category that you fall into, your role performance will always stay within that range, and that's what's known as your comfort zone. Let me give you an example. An at-leaster is someone who is always doing average performance. So if they have an instance where they become highly successful or where they become highly unsuccessful, they're going to feel very uncomfortable and will do whatever it takes to get their role performance back in place so that they can get into their comfort zone again. Now, your comfort zone usually will range within 2 points above or 2 points below wherever you ranked your identity. So your comfort zone, you can bounce within that category, but the instant you get well outside of that category, either high above it or low below it, you will do something to get yourself back into that comfort zone. So let's take a look at those individual categories in a little bit more depth. First, let's take the winners. Winners are people who rank their identity on a scale of 8 to 10. Now, a winner is a person who has a very healthy self-image, very strong self-esteem, and winners are able to separate their identity from their role. Winners are people who set high goals and they always achieve them. They're always willing to put in more energy, more time, and more effort. Winners love a challenge and they love to take risks. They're not afraid to fail. Winners also take responsibility. They never make excuses. They look inside themselves when something goes wrong so that they can figure out what to do in order to make a change to it. And winners always learn from their mistakes. The next category we have are at-leasters. At-leasters are people who do average performance. At-leasters are people who have some IR confusion. When things are going well, they feel great. When things are not going so well, it affects their identity and they feel bad. An at-leaster is one of those people that walks around saying, at least I'm better than Joe, or at least I don't do as poorly as Susie. At-leasters are people who set modest goals. They never want to put in extra effort. They just do whatever it takes to get by. Average is their comfort zone. And the way an at-leaster looks at their job is something to tolerate just to make a living. Lastly, we have the non-winners. The non-winners are people who rank themselves on a scale of 0 to 3. The non-winners completely confuse their role performance with their identity. Non-winners don't really expect to win. They don't believe that they can be successful. And in fact, they discourage any extra effort, not only in themselves, but even in those around them. Non-winners will typically make excuses and blame everything on everyone else, whether it's the economy, the prospect, the customer, the boss. It's never about them. Non-winners typically put themselves into a victim mentality and refuse to take risks. So as you take a look at those different categories and figure out where you fall, sometimes that can be uncomfortable, especially if you've determined that you fall within the at-leaster or the non-winner category. But here's the good news. You have the ability to change it, and Sandler is here to help you. You can change that anytime you want. But first, you've got to have the self-awareness to know where you need to make those changes so that you can take the steps to keep yourself and get yourself into that winner category. Now, David Sandler always said, you can only perform in your roles consistent with how you see yourself conceptually. And basically, that means that you will never do better than you actually believe that you can do. So your success is predicated on how you see yourself. So in these lessons, we're going to talk further about how you can change that level of how you see yourself and bring yourself to even greater levels of success. Now that we've discussed the three main parts of the success triangle, let's take a little bit deeper dive. The first area we'll take a look at is the U triangle. The U triangle really represents your self-concept or your self-image, the identity that you have or your I side. The U triangle consists of three parts: mind, body, and spirit. And it's really the manifestation of all of those three things coming together to combine and really create your self-identity. Now, the U triangle is one of the most important triangles because this is really the only one that you have 100% complete control over. So let's take a look at each part of those: mind, body, and spirit. As you're taking a look at these, what I'd like you to think of is, where do you really need to get some improvement? Because the more you can boost any area of this triangle, the stronger your eye becomes. So first, let's take body. What is the best way to improve your body? Well, that's pretty easy. Think about what you're eating and how much you're exercising. Are you feeding yourself nutritional food? Are you getting out, moving around, and exercising on a consistent basis? While this really isn't a fitness program, you've probably heard that there's a direct correlation between how you feel in your body and the health of your body and your performance. After all, if you're not feeling healthy, if you're sick, if you're feeling lethargic, it's very challenging to get up and do what you need to do to be successful every single day. So make sure you're eating right, make sure you're exercising, and most of all, make sure you're getting 6 to 8 hours of sleep every single night so you fuel your body for future success. The second area of the U triangle is spirit. And improvement in spirit is something that is very personal, because spirit really has to do with those core principles and beliefs that you have that are probably deeply seated and very emotionally held. Whether those beliefs are based on religion or whether they're based on a philosophy of life doesn't necessarily matter, but make sure that you understand what your core beliefs are and that somehow you're figuring out how what you do every day aligns with those beliefs, because that gives you the why. why you get up and work hard and do what it is that you do every single day. And the last part of the U triangle is mind. This is really my favorite because your mind is the thing that drives everything else you do. So what are you doing to feed your mind? What kind of self-talk do you do? Are you boosting yourself up or are you bringing yourself down? Are you focusing on what it is you want out of life or are you focusing on what you don't want? Building your mind is really about feeding it the best possible thoughts, which means positive affirmations and meditation and really taking a look at what you are ingesting from a mind standpoint. Are you watching TV that feeds your mind and makes you feel positive about the world, or are you watching things that make you feel depressed like everything is falling apart? There are so many podcasts out there and so many different books that you can read and learn from to really help build your mind up. And that's what you want to focus on when it comes to really high performance from the mind standpoint. So the U triangle is really about investing in yourself, and you are the best investment that you can possibly make. So feed the mind, feed the body, and the spirit. Because as you see those three areas improving, you will also see your performance improving. And that is what's going to start to make things just feel easier for you. It will also start to really make you feel happier about every single day that you have. And there really is nothing better than that. When most people hear the word behavior, they think of good or bad, reward or punishment, acceptable or unacceptable. But for the sake of us talking about sales today, we are going to define behavior as activities, behaviors that you must do in order to get yourself towards success. So the question really becomes, how do you determine those activities or those actions that you need to take? It all starts with goals. And the goals really need to be your goals as a salesperson, not just the goals that your manager created for you or that maybe your significant other or your spouse decided that you should reach. Because you've got to have the goals in order to have the commitment to follow through on those behaviors. Now, behavior is really about having a systematic approach. That means you've got to have consistency and a reason for doing every single thing that you do. You've got to be taking the right action at the right time with great consistency. The behavior triangle is really consisting of your goals, your plans, and your actions. And a subset of that triangle is discipline, vitality, and guts. The discipline comes back to the idea that you've got to have consistency. Most salespeople really don't fail because they don't have great technique. They fail because they don't do consistent prospecting activity day after day, week after week, month after month. That's what it takes for sales success. Now, commitment is the connection between behavior and attitude. Your commitment to your goals is the thing that is going to get you to do that behavior no matter what, even when you don't feel like it. And let's face it, there's going to be many days you are not going to feel like doing it. But if you don't have clear goals and commitment to those goals, that's when we get distractions. That's when we do avoidance behavior, anything but doing the actual behavior that we need to do. And that's why commitment and goals are so important when it comes to the behavior triangle. Sandler says, it's not how you feel that determines how you act. It is how you act that determines how you feel. And if you think about that statement, that is really, really important. Because for most of us, we kind of need to feel in the mood to go out and do our behaviors. But if you think about it, at least when it comes to prospecting, if you wait till you feel like doing it, you could be waiting days, months, who knows, maybe even years. But if you just go out and start knocking on doors and picking up the telephone and asking for referrals, when you get good responses from that, lo and behold, your attitude suddenly changes. It's kind of like going to the gym. When you wake up in the morning, you certainly don't feel like doing it, but after the fact, it really gets your attitude in the right place. So your behavior is the thing that really allows you to create your own luck. And creating your own luck is the way to ultimate success. Technique refers to the strategies, tactics, and personal presence that you use when you implement your behavior plan. Think of technique as the tools in your behavior toolkit. Your behavior becomes technique the minute you take action on it. And in order to master technique, you've got to be able to do a few things. First of all, you've got to practice, practice, practice. Think of it as doing drills in sports. You need to do the same thing with your technique practice. Then you've got to be able to recognize the situation that you're in. You need to understand the tactic that needs to be used in that situation and why. You've got to be able to apply it to that particular situation. And then you've got to be able to debrief and learn from any mistakes. Now, the technique triangle consists of three different pieces itself: personal presence, strategies, and tactics. Your personal presence is really about your energy, about the way you communicate with people, about how you impact people. It's about the charisma and the personality. When you are around somebody with strong personal presence, you can feel it. And when you're around somebody with low personal presence, you can feel that too. So the best way to work on your personal presence is to work on your eyesight. When it comes to strategies, we're really talking about your game plan. And the Sandler selling system gives you that strategy. The strategy which consists of qualify, close, and fulfillment. This is the place where you get to really show that you are different than the traditional salesperson. And this is where you really look at, how do I qualify an opportunity hard so that I can make the closing easy, versus traditional selling, which is all about qualifying easy, which makes the closing hard, overcoming objections and trying to convince someone they need to do something. In Sandler, you don't need to do any of that. And the last piece is the tactics. The tactics are the tools. What is it that you are going to be using, those tactics and techniques, when you are actually in front of a prospect or attempting to get a meeting with a prospect? You've already learned a lot of tactics, things like dummy curve, reversing, and negative reversing. And so the key now is to become really, really good with those tactics. And the only way to do it is really through practice. You've got to make the tactics and take them from being a move to being a mindset. And the only way to do that is to execute it over and over and over and improve on that every single day. So the technique triangle is really that last piece of the puzzle in the BAT triangle that really makes the entire thing work together. How do you measure success? Most people measure success based on results, but you now know that the best results are created by connecting behavior, attitude, and technique. It's like creating a self-fulfilling prophecy. It starts with attitude, or your outlook on life. That then creates your actions, which are your behaviors or your techniques, and that creates your results, whether they're good or bad, which reaffirms your attitude in the first place. A self-fulfilling prophecy can either help you or hurt you. It will either boost your eye or it will bring it down. So it's very important to make sure that you have a strong self-fulfilling prophecy, which all starts at the top of that triangle with your attitude or your mindset. As David Sandler said, you can only perform how you see yourself conceptually. So it's very important to keep your identity and your role completely separate from each other. Remember, you're always an I-10. Whether you're talking about your sales career or your personal life, your success is achieved by bringing three elements together: behavior, attitude, and technique. Behavior is the activities that you do on a regular, consistent basis to make sure that you are reaching for success. It's your goals, your plans, and your actions. Attitude is the mindset or the outlook that you bring to the table every day. Do you have a mindset of possibility? Are you focusing on the things you want? Or do you have a mindset of limitation? Are you feeling like no matter what you do, you just can't win? And technique is really about the strategies and the tactics that you use every day as you go out and do your behaviors. Are you making sure that each of those techniques and tactics are as sharp as they can possibly be? Alone, each one of those things, behavior, attitude, and technique, can be effective, but when you bring the three of them together, that's really where you create your roadmap to success. Please take a minute now to finish up your lessons learned and to do your knowledge testing. Best of luck and happy selling.
Glad you joined us for Chapter 9, Improving Your Batting Average. Next in the Sandler Foundations is Chapter 10, Prospecting Behavior.